welcome to another episode of Honest to a Mole with myself, Duncan, and Mike, now famous across the land as Two Puds. How are you, Two Puds?
I'm hungover.
Hungover.
Terrible. Yeah, throw in lack of sleep plus booze.
Don't try and pin it down to anything other than your wild nightmare. Don't try and claim it.
I'm blaming Isla.
It's nothing to do with the baby. It's because you went out and got absolutely smashed last night.
I
assume in London.
Yeah, it's in Highbury, isn't it? And I was out.
What were you up to then?
So my good pal, Jack from Jack's Meat Shack, go and check him out for all your barbecue needs, lessons, tips, cooking recipes, etc., etc. Add a little
sort
freebie.
Makes sense.
Yeah, you got a freebie.
Jack,
little...
rather than like... If it was Jack from Fiona's Meat Shack, that would make less sense.
Well, he might work there. You never know.
He doesn't know. It's his Meat Shack.
So, he had a little freebie to the Black Axe Man Gal in Highbury and Islington, which is like a little restaurant. And Jameson's flew him over, the owner, to experience Black Barrel. And he said...
Where does he live usually then, if he's been flown over?
Islington. So they flew him to Ireland. I'm giving you a bit of a backstory. You're looking to be confused. So they flew into Ireland, gave him distillery
really
tour.
Now.
He got shown around by the cooper, the head cooper at Middleton. And then he cooked the Middleton cooper lunch on the beach and stuff and then just got absolutely battered in the thing.
Were you in Ireland last night or were you in Islington?
So he had that experience and then they gave him a shed load of Black Barrel and said, look, can you start doing a bit of cooking? Influence it with the whiskey and stuff. So, that was what it was. It was whiskey-infused kind of food. And then lots and lots and lots of Black Barrel in straight and cocktails with a few beers. So, I'm not going to lie. I feel awful. And I'm a barely functioning human. At the best of times, I'm not great today. But it's good though. So thank you to Jameson's for letting me tag along. The guys there are actually really cool that were out touring. So I'll big up the podcast to them. So hopefully we get a couple more listeners, but we'll see.
Did they have any cast strength Black Barrel? Or was it all
just the normal, unfortunately? Which arguably I preferred. I didn't really like the cast strength, weirdly, when I tried it. I've only tried it once.
Oh, right.
And it could have been something I'd eaten, but it just didn't. Click, you know what I mean? It just wasn't my flavour.
Tell me what your flavour. Got a third of a ball left. Here's what you're going to do, folks. It's got 28 days to go. I got 28 days to know. Because we're slow, then we're slow. It's a task we're going to go. It's got 28 days before it's got to go. Did you listen to that pod? Oh, no. Did you listen to that pod? Oh, no. So it's slow, then we're slow. It's a task we're going to go. It's got 28 days before it's got to go. Did you listen to that pod? Oh, no. Did you listen to that pod? Oh, no. So it's slow, then we're slow. It's a task we're going to go. It's got 28 days before it's got to go. 28 more days. Head spacer. 1 month to go. Ta, ta, ta. Michael Henry, third left. Mike and Duncan, podcaster. It's Mike's turn now. Step up to the plate.
We'll see if you can pull your socks up enough to march away for an episode today. So, Mike, what's the name of the episode called?
So, we are episode 33 off the top of my head, which I think is correct. And it's Tell Me What's Your Flavour. Dropped a little hint.
Tell
me what's your flavour. Ooh.
Bit of Craig David.
Classic.
Yeah.
What a tune.
So, we're going to be... What a tune. A tune so good he had to leave and go to America.
Yeah.
Could be other reasons. So today we've just done a tour of Vague tasting. Ooh. So we're going to talk about that, about what's been in our glass. I saw something, a couple of things that was online. Mike might want to talk about him pretending to be Daniel Day-Lewis in Gangs in New York.
There's no pretending, mate.
Slaughtering cows.
There's no
not
pretending.
Not one for the vegans.
Yeah.
And then the most important subject of the day, we're going to get stuck into sort of style categories in whiskey. Wine manages it. Whiskey seems to not manage it. And it means that's why when you go into a whiskey shop, people don't go in and go, tell me what your dry whites are, or tell me what your aromatic whites are. They go in and go,
I love a whiskey.
I have no idea what whiskey I want. Yeah. they drink this. Can you suggest anything?
Yeah. I mean, that's
It's so difficult.
Yeah. It's a very good point, and it was a very good topic. I did chuckle when you sent it.
Yeah, it feels poignant, right? So what has been in your glass, assuming this evening,
so
right?
So this evening has been some Todd of Vig, and we can say that correctly because we met Stu Dick, who told us how to say it.
Big up, Stu Dick.
Big up, Stu Dick! And, yeah.
Mohawk? He had a mohawk.
Oh, I was like... I didn't think that was one of the...
Sure,
I didn't think I had a Todd of Vig mohawk, although they should release that. There's definitely...
Some people used to call them Mohicans, but they're not. That's a type of people. Yeah. It's mohawks.
Apparently, there was only one left, from what I remember.
Yeah. I would love to make a film called The Last of the Mohawks. just the last person on the planet Earth with a mohawk.
You could do like a sort of Naked Gun version of him. Of it.
Leslie Nielsen back from the... Not dead. Is he dead?
I think he's dead.
I don't know. Is he back from the... Right, Leslie Nielsen back from the dead, starring in Last of the Mohawks.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Todd of Vig tasting. Right, you're involved. What do you reckon?
Yeah, so I guess we can collectively do what's been in our glass today. I was really impressed. There was 5 whiskies in total. So many thanks to Steve from...
Steve Rush.
Whiskey Wire /... Steve Rush, from Whiskey Buyer / Tweet Tastings, the home of Tweet Tastings online. So this Todd of Vig, they also own Mossburn. And so there was the Ault Glen.
Yep.
Both the 46%, but also
and the heavy hitter. Yes.
Batch strength, which is magnificent. Yeah. And then there was the Mossburn Speyside Blended Malt. I'm never going to pronounce this correctly. Chastiel
Chamus.
Chamus. Yeah. No. And then there was like another blended malt, which was finished in Foursquare, right? Which is...
I like a bit of rum.
Some sort of cask collaboration, which is sort of rummy. So my 3 favourites by far were the Todd of Vig Batch Strength, which was like Sweetie Petey Magic. It was just...
That can go on their advert.
Vanilla...
Duncan from Honest and Malt. Sweetie Pete Magic. Just done.
Sweetie Pete Magic,
Oh, mate.
Get it down
you go into a bar. I want something Sweetie Pete and Magic. I got just a dram for
you. Sweetie Pete Magic. I've got just a dram for you. Yeah, it was like vanilla, kind of like custard creams and sort of vanilla-y pie type stuff. And then the peat was coming through and there was some fruit in there.
Really well balanced.
My notes. Well, yeah, I mean, it was more the way it came through in layers, and then it just kind of, the peat just built up and kept building and building and building. And I thought that some sort of black hole was forming in my mouth. Honestly, it just kept growing and growing and growing. It was, it's a good dram, top dram. Yeah, that's really good,
one. Yeah, because I'd bought the normal strength before, a couple of times, a fair few.
Right.
Really, really nice dram, and that, yeah, just, oosh, big.
Oosh. I don't know, how much does that one cost?
Can't remember. I was impressed that I was able to drink them and didn't have to chew, because I am hanging.
Hickory smoke. It had. I actually put like baked custard creams, vanilla lemon pie, empty cigar boxes, hickory smoke, salt, peat, brine. That was all on the nose. And then it was kind of like... sort of boiled ham, also
barbecue vibes.
I've also got this kind of like raspberry swirl ice cream like type note immediately, and then it just completely disappears and all that stuff takes over.
Yeah.
And then on the palate, I got like, it was like oily, heavy medicinal peat, crumbly vanilla cheesecake, charred pineapple, salted almonds, roasted potatoes. Seriously, because I got quite a lot of potato starch
with duck
in
fat?
The Ault Glen. I don't know. I didn't get any gravy. So it was really good. That was probably one of the highlights. What was your highlight of the 5?
Oh, same. That one, or something else? Like, just mega. Like,
I don't think that was my favorite. That was my second favorite. My favorite was the rum finish one.
Oh, no.
I really was seriously impressed with that one.
I'm trying to see what prices were. I'm not looking. We can look at
It must be about... That one must be about sort of 70-ish quid, the one we just mentioned. And then the rum one was giving me like Jamaican ginger cake, rum punch, coconut, pear drops.
Was it actually coconut or were you like just trying to be me?
Old actual coconut. Okay. It was kind of like effervescent in its taste. It was like old Jamaica ginger beer. It was like warming. Yeah. It was really good. And it was like sweet, but because it was like a rum sweetness, it wasn't like artificially sweet. You know, it was like
proper palm
like
sugar.
Kind of like Jamaican fruit. Yeah, rum fruits. Yeah, it was really, really top stuff. And yeah. I've put that down on my watch list. Yeah.
It's a good lineup.
And now I'm drinking their blended malt. The
go on.
Is it the 12-year-old one or is it non-age statement?
It was 12, wasn't it?
I'd have to.
Oh, is it the Speyburm? So
the rum one was 12 years old, right? So
I don't think the blended malt,
I'd have to check. I'm not sure if that was an age statement. I think it was just a batch. Anyway, it's an age statement on it. But anyway, buttery, doughy, chocolate chip cookies, butter heavy crumble, orange oils, a bit of rose water, slight funk. In fact, all of the Mossburns had a slight funk on them in some ways.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, somehow they've managed to get that in there, maybe through the storage on the casks, right? Like you'd expect. Yeah. So it made them all a bit more interesting, really. You know, yeah, it's decent. I think that Mossburn is not one that I've really looked at, although I have tried before. And now thinking about it, whenever I've tried it before, I've really enjoyed it. So maybe it's just that I'm just being looking at the bottles and not thinking, oh, you know, that's
well, maybe you're just not
cool
linking it
label.
To...
I don't know. I just think that maybe it needed a flight like that to really to sort of cut through to me. Do you know what I mean?
Cut you deep.
Yeah, to cut me deep. Anyway, those three are excellent. I think the blended malt was like 40 quid or maybe slightly under. Mm. It's excellent value for money.
Yeah. Yeah. So what have you been up to this week? What's been up your arse? Anything in particular? Any positivity coming at you or negative?
Now when I get ill, like post-COVID, I no longer get actually ill. I'm just back to like being a normal human being who just feels a bit tired temporarily. Yeah. So that's the most positive thing. And now when I get ill, I'm just like grateful. I'm like,
at least it's not COVID.
Thank goodness. Like my actual immune system is working and fighting stuff off. That's probably my most positive thing. There's no football at the moment, proper football anyway, because Premier League's off. So that kind of rubbish. Other than that, CAF's open. So
CAF's back.
Yeah, get out and about. CAF's back. Dog's still getting on my nerves. What to do? Still, it's like, I don't need to use, you know, there's like resistance bands. Yeah. Yeah, I don't need to use them because the dog is just continually pulling my arms. So I switch between the two. It's just like dragging like a sort of 9 kilogram lump. It's not even dragging the nine. It would be easier just to drag a 9 kilogram weight around.
Yeah.
Because actually he's putting all of his effort into pulling me in the other direction.
I don't know what
that equates to in force. Yeah. But he's just always testing my arm.
Yeah.
Right. So I'll have like toddler on the shoulders. She weighs about 15 kilograms. Dog's pulling me. Then I'll have a school bag on my shoulder. Then Leo did 4 poos today.
Mate, he's having you over.
4. And all of them big.
Oh, we've been saving them up.
I don't know, but there's just too many poos for a small dog.
Or has he got into something he shouldn't have?
I don't think so. I'm not sure how he does it.
He's under sausage rolls.
And then today, probably the highlight of his week was he was moping around looking bored today. So I decided to go to the CAF. And as soon as he knew we were going in the general direction of the CAF, he got a right swagger,
really?
Tails going. He's like pulling me along.
I'm going to get my baked potato.
he's going to get some sausage. What about your week anyway? Been good?
Yeah, man. I did as you brought up earlier, did a butchery course. And
that's a kill.
That was amazing. Like, not even just saying it, it was.
God, talk us through it then. What did you actually
do? So firstly, it was a birthday present, I think, from Lara from August. And they only do these events maybe twice a year or something. So I think
it's the last birthday present you're ever going to get after your night out last
night. So, yeah. So
enjoy it.
She went to one of the local butchers who's decent and said, "Did you do any butchery courses?" And he went, "No, but we work at one, so we'll put you in touch, blah, blah, blah." Anyway, so turned up. Drove through this massive like country estate and down to a little barn, and it's got all the taxidermy on the wall. It's got like amazing little outdoor space, massive table, and then 2 huge butcher's tables with a quarter of a cow on each. And right. I think there was, I want to say 16 maybe people.
So the cow was already...
cutting up.
The cow was already
obviously
dead.
Not, sorry. Not obviously cutting the cow because they weigh like a ton. Yeah, just
I thought you were
hang it
the
up
cow
in the fields, just hunt it down, skin
I
picture, it.
I pictures in my mind of you like on the cow's back, like in UFC, like choking it out.
Go down! <It'd> be... What's that Jim Carrey film? It's one where he fights a cow. I can't remember what
you
it
just
is.
You just hanging on his back and then looking over at the referee going, his neck is massive. I could be some
so,
right.
So walked into this dead. Venue and yeah, basically was like, this is mega. And he was like, all right, do you want a little sausage? And he had all like sausages and cocktail sticks, and it's all their own sausages that they produce. And that was amazing. I was like, this is a really great space. Like what do you use it for? He's like, weddings. We do like corporate events. I was like, have you ever any whiskey tastings? He's like, no, that'd be a good idea. I was like, all right, I know a guy that does barbecue stuff, so we might be able to do some barbecue
whiskey
lessons.
And meat.
And then do a whiskey tasting afterwards. He's like, yeah. I was like, right, yeah, we'll talk after. There's legs in this. Ooh. Literally.
Whiskey, meat, and mustard.
Yeah.
Get that
done. Get it trademarked.
Just, that's the whole evening. Just whiskey, meat, and mustard.
Yeah. And then you were basically like brought up as a split in half. You each had a quarter of a cow. Mm. And then you basically dissected the various cuts from this cow. So I was like taking apart the brisket, like with a massive saw, like a machete type knife, a little hand knife. And then you had to like obviously dress all the meat properly, take out the bones out, take all the silver skin off.
So somewhere between a scene in Dexter... Yeah. And that scene in Uncle Buck where he eats the biggest bit of beef possible at a restaurant.
Yeah. I've told you about my steak story in Texas now. I ate 52 ounce.
You gave a story about you drinking like 4.5 gallons of milk.
Oh, no, that's Canada.
Like that.
In Texas, I ate a 52 ounce steak with a full plate of sides of barbecue. And
what is 52 ounces?
So a normal steak's about 12.
Can you...
So it's like,
about
five steaks with a load of sides and a load of beer.
Easy.
You say that, mate. Literally...
The beer's not easy. Hang on. I didn't say
the
beer was easy.
No, you said the meat. Even the meat. Yeah.
Did I say the beer was
easy?
Yeah, meat's easy.
No. We'll see. I went into a meat coma.
No.
I had to... So I was in Austin for 2 nights and I spent one of them in bed trying to will my body to process this meat as quick as it could so I could...
That would have been so embarrassing. You're in America, you haven't got health insurance, you have to pay to get an ambulance, and the cause of it is you've eaten too much meat.
The rear end of a cow. Which I actually did. Ate the rear end of a cow on Saturday when I went.
What did you learn from this butchery course? Talk us through what did you learn.
So essentially, how all the various cuts are used, the ones that are like thrown into mints and stuff, how everything is used. What would make good things for chilies, what makes good burgers, and I'm now...
Also, we're telling you how to use the meat.
Yeah, and then sort of how to move your way around the various like bones and cartilage and stuff, and how to separate and find the seams within the meat and things.
Right.
It's one more for our zombie apocalypse. It's another check in my book. I reckon I can now take down a cow and go for it.
The longest part would be you taking the cow down, trying to choke it out. Look at the neck on that one. He's going to be there for a while.
Yeah.
Anyway,
there was
that sounds
a
really
load
good.
Of red wine. We had cooked the steaks and stuff that we'd cut off. So we had a really nice meal and stuff. And that was through Kentfield Country Estate and HW Cold Breath Butchers. So, highly recommend that. Check them out. Like I said, they're only twice a year. We had people from London that had come down for like the day and stuff to do it. So people had come from far and wide. Luckily, it's only 10 minutes from my door. So decent. And they do a venison one as well. So I'm tempted to go and do that. And I think you actually go out and do
a bit of hunting
and get to do the full job.
Get your bow and arrow out.
Yeah. Or just a pen.
Yeah.
Just a pen and an aggressive concentration.
Are we expecting like some sort of YouTube montage of you just on the backs of like animals and then commentators online commentating on your videos just saying, He, if you look at his grip there on his back around his neck, he doesn't have the arm strength. He's not locked in deep.
It's unbelievable. The squirrel can take that human level of weight.
Did you see how the deer there got its leg in between the arm? It's never gonna get him that way. I saw something online this week posted. I'd have to look up who it was that posted it. But it just brought something to my attention that I wasn't even sure was a thing. So I made a note of it to bring it up with you, Mike. So in America, they refer to what we call as whiskey. Sometimes, in fact, I'm drinking quite a few of them tonight as light whiskey. It's like a category.
I've got a Bunnahab and Cask strength in light this glass.
Whiskey.
And yeah, light whiskey. Wow.
And there was just this whole thread of people saying, like, they were saying, why would I drink light whiskey? Like, it hasn't got any flavor imparted into it. And there was this, like, one guy, like, dying on a hill saying, have you ever tried, like, you know, 20-year-old refill and stuff like that? It's amazing. There's so much flavor in it. And there's loads of people going, no, I would never do that. There's no flavor in it at all. There's no color, so therefore there's no flavor. And it opened my eyes really to, this whole sort of, that's even a thing. I didn't realize that. Being over here in like England and, you know, drinking mostly Scottish whiskey, just this whole notion that light whiskey could be rubbish, which is rubbish, of course, is a thing. Like, I didn't realize it.
So what's your interpretation of what light whiskey is?
Well, but going through the thread of people replying, they were, I looked at the whiskey they supplied and the person that was defending it was referring to all kinds of cask-aged whiskey, like older cask-aged whiskey, which was just lighter in color. So they seem to have just kind of like called it its own category as light whiskey because typically bourbon is, I always have to think, bourbon is darker.
It is.
So tell me a light bourbon.
There is my empty Buffalo Trace bottle looks pretty light.
People were just writing stuff like they were saying that's just vodka.
Well, I can tell you,
might as well just drink vodka.
The one we were looking at from the post was the Very Old Goat, 21-year-old light whiskey, and essentially,
so it was actually called a light whiskey.
Yeah, and it's on the bottle. But from what I looked at, I did a bit of research on it, and it said it's basically just, it comes off the stills, an even higher level of ABV to take out more fats and stuff. So they can have it at a higher ABV, but it doesn't have the burn effect. And I'm like, that sounds moody. It sounds like a made up category. So it's just basically cask strength whiskey.
But we drink lots of cask strength whiskey that's light. So is it the same or not the same? Now I don't understand.
There's no clarity to what it is. I feel like this company's just trying to bring it back. So I know there's a period when whiskey hit is.
But the person defending it was saying they were basically referring to whiskey that we would drink, which is lighter in color.
Yeah, because it's older.
Generally, like bourbon cask or refill sherry cask or refill hogsheads, which is, you know, 15 years plus, you know, even sort of 12 years, whatever. It doesn't really matter. It could be 10 years old. But the point is, and they were talking about the flavors in parts. Mm. So I feel like whilst someone has called that whiskey over there light whiskey, generally the people on the thread were referring to light whiskey. Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like low calorie. That's immediately when you said it, like a sort of like you.
Well, I now might have a light whiskey Mossburn Foursquare 12-year-old blended malt, which was terrific.
I've got a light whiskey Bunnahab and Cask Strength 12. It's not very light.
Please don't
all.
Buy it over there in America and just leave it all here for us.
Weird though.
I shall. It was strange.
I want to try and get hold of them just to see what the actual score
just
is.
Just that one particularly.
Yeah. When someone puts themselves out there to promote light whiskey, you're questioning it. Like, what are you on about? What's the point? And it, bizarre.
Maybe I got confused by the thread. So, big topic for the week is so let me pitch it to you, Mike. Right.
Picturing myself. Where am I?
It's not tasting notes. So we've just been on a tour of vague tasting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Big up Torreveig. Big up Mossberg. Big up Stu Dick. Yeah. It's not tasty notes. Tasty notes are tremendously helpful and a lot of fun to do. Nosy notes, tasty notes, finish notes. Excellent. It's that within, and beer is also really difficult for this, by the way, because beer has so many categories. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Like beer has wild for number categories. So, but wine's managed it. You have like big red, aromatic white, dry white, sweet white. You know, you can shop for wine knowing what kind of wine you like, generally like light red. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can. Yeah. And I messaged you, I text you, and you were like, yeah, red or white. Yeah. and you know, to be fair, all rosé, yeah, right?
If you mix them,
then
that's how rosé is made. But
I've set us a challenge. And so this is the challenge, is can we get whiskey down to some categories or styles that could be widely used, pan-industry, just like you're starting to see your gilets on the uptake.
Oh, my God. Since you've said that, they're everywhere.
Every
bloke in the city on the train when I got on the other day was wearing one. And
you're just conscious of it. It's like when you buy a car, when you get a car and you didn't notice that car before, and now you own that car. Now it's all you see everywhere. You're like, he's got my car. He's got my car. She's got my car.
It was funny because, and I saw something on Instagram as well. And it was like, we're in gilet season, and it was just someone in the City of London filming business blokes like strutting around in chinos and and gilets.
Red chinos and gilets.
I was like, oh, yeah. Dang.
Red Trousers has its own like subreddit as well. Yeah. Like just people like rocking around in red trousers.
I've got a nice like wine coloured pair of chinos that I've only ever worn once to a day at the races where I was trying to look silly and I just blended in with everyone there.
Yeah. Did you posh accent?
Yeah.
Then you got found out as being from Wales.
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 Tomatin, you say tamarin, and I say tomate. Tomatin, 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 it'll like bowl. Let's call the whole thing off.
So let's start here then. I thought I'd look at a couple of the biggest retailers to see how they categorize things. So let's start with Whiskey Exchange. So they've got Elegant and Floral, Fresh Fruit and Vanilla, Dried Fruit and Nut, Malt and Honey, Rich Fruit and Spice, Peat and Fruit, Maritime and Smoky, Rich and Peaty. Yeah. Now, this is different to SMWS, which is the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society, Young and Sprightly, Sweet Fruit and Mellow, Spicy and Dry, Spicy and Sweet, Deep Rich and Dry Fruits, Old and Dignified, Light and Delicate, Juicy Oak and Vanilla, Oily and Coastal, Lightly Peated, Peated and Heavily Peated. So already there's total variance between the two. So that didn't help me.
No.
I just went through that and went, like, now that doesn't help. That's too many categories, right? Like, if I'm sort of new into whiskey, so first thing is maybe it's just too complicated in whiskey, but let's have a go.
I think the only thing that it could make it complicated is smoke. Because that's, if you think, so I've reached for my Charlie's whiskey tray, which is the, can't even remember where I bought it, really. It's... I think it was tasting notes.
Does that double up for something else or am I misunderstanding?
No, no, no. It's literally just a tray where I used to carry my empty glasses and stuff back to the house.
Oh, okay.
It's got like a weird
Charlie's whiskey tray.
Charles McLean's tasting notes that he's used over the last...
Oh, Charles McLean's tasting notes. Okay,
maybe. Yeah. Anyway, so that's how I read it. And they categorize it. So all your sort of different tasting notes. And I was like, well, that's kind of like a good idea because he's broken down all your different tasting notes and that's kind of something to go on. So he's got what we've got: fruity, good, grainy, grassy, woody, peaty, winey. Quite simple. And I think everything can kind of, you with whiskey, because it can be so many different things going on, you'd like to think the overarching tasting note is what you can sort of take out of it, and that's what you'd want to hunt down.
That's the category. Yeah. So yeah, you like winey, cereal, fruity, floral, peaty, fainty, sulfury, and woody. But that doesn't help you to be able to go and choose something that you like. So the goal here is somebody goes into a whiskey shop and knows kind of what they like, and there's an easy way of the bottles being labelled or categorised so that they can choose which one they want. right? So there's that. There's like the flavor wheel. But there's also the kind of that grid. Have you seen like the four square grid, like the 2x2 matrix, which is like smoky at the top, delicate at the bottom, and then light and rich. And it puts all the single malts in it around it. And that to a degree is kind of helpful. So what I looked at is what are the different aspects of what you find in a whiskey, yeah. right? So first one, fluidity. Is it thin?
Fluidity.
Or oily?
Viscosity?
Viscosity, yeah. Yeah, yeah. High. It can have a high viscosity or a low viscosity, right? So then you've got like salty. Is it salty, yes or no? It's obviously like a degree, but like people talk about coastiness. Generally, it's like brininess and saltiness, isn't it? And then you've got like peatiness, you know, like, you know, no peat through to like heavy peat. And then you've got like smokiness, because peat and smoke are different.
Yep.
Aren't they? I mean, it's not the same. Like you can, smoke is carbon based. Even then, so
different peat. Different flavors, like completely different.
You can have like medicinal peat. Yeah,
Highland peat.
But even within wine, you have differences like from regions. Yeah. But the point is that you'll have a wine which is kind of like heavy and deep and tannic, right? And you could be from different regions and be totally different, but it's still the kind of wine that you like. And so this is kind of point. If you're really into like heavy peat, obviously heavy peat's a big thing. So you've got smoke, so you've got your sliding scale of smoke. And then this is a really key one, obviously, like sweet to dry. So, and I feel like no one ever says medium. No one ever talks about balanced, like medium whiskey. It's either like it's sweet or
I suppose, yeah, like you dry, only mentioned the extreme.
A lot of my favorite whiskies are just balanced. They're like in the middle. They're like sweet and sweet to dry, right? They're like medium, like which in wine would be like Chablis, right? Or something like that. Or
Chablis.
To know.
Chablis.
So then you got like spicy. Is it spicy? Yes or no? Then is it like full bodied or is it delicate? Then you've got like, is it fruity? And fruity could be anything. Could be like orchard fruits, tropical fruits, stone fruits, citric, red fruits. Oh my goodness me. So many types of fruits. And then is it savory? Is it like vegetal? Is it herbal? Is it like sulfury? And then you've got like floral, not floral. And then you've got like cereally versus not cereally. You know, is it like meaty, starchy, porridgey, bready, or is it not?
Cereal, citrus,
malt. And then you've still got, then you've got the woodiness. You've got like vanilla, caramel, coffee, ginger. And then you've got like, oh my days, the wininess coming through. It just goes on and on and on. So I start to see why it's so difficult to get it down, right? To some sort of categories. Like it is actually really quite hard.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why it's so impossible to buy whiskey, right? And this, when you don't know anything about it.
And that's the thing, they sell it on region style, don't they? But there is no region style. I think there maybe was at some point when there was, you know.
Yeah, definitely a bit of that's gone.
Yeah. Like necessarily now, if I had a smoky Highland, I wouldn't necessarily be surprised because they do some amazing.
That's why people gravitate towards Campbelltown because it still has such a strong identity, and that's why people still love Islay so much because again, it has a really strong identity. Mostly, right? You know, you've just got some rogues, but generally, you know, if you're getting a peated Islay whiskey, you kind of know what you're going to get, right? Yeah. If you're getting a Campbelltown whiskey, you know you're going to get that kind of
punch
like
in the
Campbelltown
face.
Funk. So yeah, but like in Speyside, all kinds of stuff's going on these days, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really. So
I did chuckle. I saw Becky Paskin introducing the weekend's TV to Glen Scotia Victoriana and their faces from people that aren't used to. You can tell they weren't used to drinking spirits, let alone sort of like higher ABV stuff.
What was it on ITV?
Yeah, it's Alan Titchmarsh. Right? She was on there doing something. And just their faces when they got into the Scotia from Colt.
Really?
I was like, a savage. It's like,
it's too much for them,
was it? Yeah, like you can't just, this is worth having a hit flask in a cocktail. I'm like, you've just mullered those people.
Right. So, but was it put into a cocktail? Was it drunk?
No,
neat?
She drank it neat on there, but she was saying like she would put it into a cocktail and take it out with her for like fireworks night and things. And I'm like, I think if you put an old fashioned into a hip flask, it's going to ruin it. But
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or to me, it's just a waste of space. Why are you diluting something with... You just want a whiskey. You can don't...
I don't know. Peter whiskey does work in an old-fashioned.
Yeah, but would you put an old-fashioned into a hip flask? No.
No, I've never done that. Because it's all about how it's served in the glass, isn't it?
Like, it's just going to...
No, I would just have... I just have the whiskey. Yeah.
Whiskey can make you stand... Like we said earlier, whiskey can stand up to a hip flask for a few days. Mm. And some whiskeys actually get better. So, like, if you were to put, like, Jim Beam White Label, like, utter drain cleaner... into a hip flask, it'll actually taste better a day later. It just like somehow cleans up the spirit.
Is that science?
That's Mike science
experiment that you've been through.
Yeah, that's been signed off, Tupud certified. Yeah.
You buy a cheap bad whiskey, you put it in a hip flask for a day, and voila,
it's magically better.
It's taken some of the metal off the inside of your hip flask.
Yeah.
It's a little bit thinner,
yeah,
and so but rather than tasting metallic. Go on, Mike.
Well, it's like those copper wristbands that just to con people to make thinking that they feel better. Same thing. Like, it's, right. Yeah, it's just influences.
Oh, my gosh. Do you think anyone's invented, like, a hip flask that's, like, wood inside and then you leave your whiskey in it and it just continues to age?
I don't know.
That's genius. Like an oak inside, inside hip flask.
There must be a way now with technology to...
It just continues to age. So,
oh my god!
Like, mind blown, right?
Yeah.
Like a metal outside, oak inside, hip flask.
Or just all oak.
Yeah, just all oak. Yeah, could do. Yeah, be heavy though. Yeah. If it was like partially metal, partially.
What's that hardwood in your pocket? Yeah.
Hey, you're. Your right arm's looking mightily impressive these days. Yeah, I've been drinking out of my oak hip flask. It's surprising.
I like how we've gone, what a good idea to reverse technology a few thousand years before using metal. Let's take it out of the equation and go back to eating from like...
I mean, people just put bits of wood in there. Anyway, putting it so...
Sorry, digress.
So back on track with the flavor styles. So I started to actually have a look at it. Is, you know... It seems impossible, but in reality, most people are drinking a small percentage of the flavor profile of whiskey all of the time, right? And then you've got all this stuff like on the peripheral, haven't you? So it feels to me like the key things are like sweet, medium, dry, fruity or aromatic, right? I.e. aromatic can be many things like basically savory, vegetal, etc., right? Then you've got like smooth, tannic, sour, and then you've got unpeated, peated, or smoky. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, woody or winey, light or full, thin or oily. So when you start to bring it down to those things, it's easier to be able to put like a label on a whiskey and say, this is a sweet, fruity, smooth, unpeated whiskey. Yeah. Boom. Right. Or this is a dry, aromatic, smoky whiskey. Boom.
Yeah.
This is a full-bodied, woody, oily, fruity whiskey. Boom. It's possible. It's not easy.
It is.
But it's possible, right? And there's like a few things that really stand out. And then beyond that, everything else is just...
Chaos.
Tasty notes and chaos, yeah. Whereas, like, when you look at the categories in wine, you've got like sparkling, light white, full-bodied white, aromatic, sweet white, rosé, light red... Medium red, full, big red, dessert white. It's just clear categories.
But where would one of my favorite flavors fit in, which is...
That's interesting. So if we take a whiskey, what would we categorize it as?
But I'm thinking, look, a flavor I love, and I used to do geology in school, and when you crack limestone open, you get like rock dust. That smell...
Rock dust.
And it's unique and it's amazing. Actually, you find it in a lot of like coastal whiskies, weirdly. I'm like, where's rock dust coming on there? But yeah, but it's not always coastal. This is what I mean.
Yeah, but that's a particular tasting note.
Also a flavor note you get in like wine.
You can still write, you can still write that on the back of the bottle.
Yeah.
Tasting. This isn't to replace tasting notes. This is about you go into a store and how they categorize whiskies. If you go into any retail store, they're categorized by region.
I want rock dust.
Right. If you go on the rock dust section, if you go online to like any of these retail stores, again, they're categorized region. By like region, yeah. Or they're categorized by like country. And I feel like you should be able to go on and say, tick like a couple of boxes and say you want a sweet peaty whiny whiskey, which is...
Stop whining!
A whining, oily, and then boom.
Yeah. Oh, we got Leo. He's coming to make his cameo this week. Just stands there and smashes his paws on the floor.
I think there's a fly around. So
oh, game on.
He'll be looking about 10 minutes to where the fly was last. As he's so slow. Nothing has more lag than Leo. He's in a different time zone to everything else.
He's on Leo time.
Yeah, so I feel like it would be possible to come up with some...
Yeah.
Like, basically some like, okay, what do you call them? Like style or like labels, categories.
It's got to be style, I suppose.
Something to make it, and then to build them out. Like you like tick a couple or you like, they have a couple of labels. That's it. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying it's possible, maybe.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think it's a good idea, but can you imagine like the amount of money that whiskey companies pay marketeers to make their product sound different and unique, and you're like, strip it.
I'm not talking about.
It's like
I'm talking about retailers. Retailers have to sell the stuff. Right?
Yeah, I suppose.
So look,
Billy Basic, like Waitrose shelf.
If you have a conversation with anybody and they don't like, okay, so anyone that's tried thousands of whiskeys, right?
Hmm.
Fine, we know what we like, right? And we know what you're going to get from different regions and areas, yeah. And. But anyone that doesn't know too much about whiskey, again, you see them walk into a whiskey store and they're just like, but if, and part of the reason that they, and then you'll ask them, well, what does your, I'm buying a gift for somebody. Okay. Well, what do they like? And they'll go, the reason they go, is because there's no indication on the bottle that it is, and I quote myself again, a sweet, smooth, unpeated wine cask driven whiskey. Right? It's not, because it's not clear, they don't know. They'll just go the brand or the region or whatever, or they'll say. And so that person that's drinking the whiskey often even doesn't know to be able to communicate to their other half what type of whiskey they even like. Yeah. Right?
I think that would work definitely on a retail level.
Oh, contention!
Last night, man, I had a chat with someone, the head chef at this restaurant, and he was right. Like, yeah, I love Irish whiskey, just hate scotch. I was like, how can you hate scotch if you like Irish whiskey? It's too peaty. I went, well, it's not, it hasn't got all peat. He goes, yes, it has. I was like, no. Little Padawan, let me take you on a journey. And just bored him for about 40 minutes as he was trying to host an event. Yeah.
Did you make sure that you boxed him in so he couldn't leave?
Absolutely. There was me or the exit. He wasn't leaving his own restaurant to it.
You just positioned yourself where you couldn't get
But like
away.
That would have been a prime example is to go, well, you've got these like dry, fruity, blah, blah, blah. And it would have just gone, oh, okay. Yeah. Very simple. Nice, easy approach. Mm. Might just, you know, sway someone that is so stuck in their ways over thinking scotch is peaty and things like that. When they were buying something.
Well, I mean, blind drams is another one. We'll be doing blind drams. And often I've come to realize that whilst I like them, a lot of they'll often be like a bourbon cask, which is a bit spicy in there, and it'll either be kind of savory or sweet, right? It's unpeated. So it's unpeated, sweet, spicy.
Done. That's it.
Done. Or it's unpeated, it's unpeated aromatic spicy or unpeated savory spicy, whichever way you're going to call it, right? And that's it done. And I'm probably not buying it, you know. So I have to read bottles to see if they say how spicy they say. But the truth is, I actually do like some spiciness, but I only like the spiciness in certain drams, right?
So what?
Depends.
I think we should have government guidelines put on every bottle. You know, like you do not drink when pregnant. There should be a flavor chart, like you said earlier. But it's like 20 by 20 of just different notes, and they've got to mark X where their flavors are hitting.
The industry has tried to count this. This is why almost every bottle now has tasting notes and almost every retailer has tasting notes, right? And so that solves the problem to a degree. I'm just saying that categories would be simpler if possible. That's all I'm saying. It's a plea, people. Get on it. Somebody with more time than us.
John Lewis, Waitrose, Tesco, someone.
Let us know what you think about the whiskey categories. Just tweet us or write us on Instagram. Do you think it's possible to get whiskey categories or whiskey styles down to a few things that the newbie or the person that doesn't drink too much whiskey can actually understand?
Or the owner of a restaurant in Highbury. Wild.
Who's been cornered by Mike? Or is this just fantasy misplaced?
Is it
unrealism?
Whiskey tip fantasy?
Just in the Twilight Zone? Yeah, just me. Like, just a dream I had. Shutter Island all over again. Anyway, that's enough for me this week. Thanks so much. You over to you, Mike, to do the summation of the episode.
As always, thank you for listening. Follow us on all the socials. We're on all of them. We're even considering making our own one. We've set up our Instalam account recently. That's still only got two people on there, which is me and Duncan. So get yourselves over to Instalam.
We launched some t-shirts, didn't we?
Oh, we did.
We can throw that in. You can check it out in the link. We'll put a link in the episode. We've started making some Tumblr Club t-shirts. Yeah. So have a look if you like it. They're all organic and all that stuff. Trying to make a whiskey t-shirts great again. So it'll be a slow uptake, I'm sure. Yeah. But we will put out a few more t-shirts.
I'm sure
products.
At some point we'll sell one. Because at the moment, like, Duncan, you're the only customer.
It didn't take that long, to be honest.
No, I am going to order some just so we can have a good little spread the word of the almighty honest to a malt. But yeah.
Well, when we've done it mostly for fun, really. It's just like, I just looked around at whiskey t-shirts. There's just none I want to wear.
No.
So
yeah, just rely on me for my amazing art ability and art, you know, talents at manipulating computers.
Yeah, me just sending you ideas. We've got some cool ones actually. Anyway, it's enough.
Yeah,
so
check
thank
it
you.
Out.
Thanks for me. Thanks for listening.
And yes, we'll catch you on the next one. Bye bye bye.